The first reading this morning is from Proverbs. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though yourselves are being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. On one occasion, when Jesus was going into the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone into a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say, "Give this person your place," then in disgrace, you would start taking the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He spoke also with the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. So the first half of our gospel lesson today from Luke may seem to simply have words of common sense or just plain good advice, something that maybe a Miss Manners would write in one of her columns within the newspaper, ways in which to present ourselves as humble people, and in so doing, then be invited higher rather than running the risk of appearing arrogant. The second half of the parable turns its focus away from this etiquette conversation from guest to host and suggests that hosts should invite the outcast rather than those who are popular or even within our families. And yet on the whole, I still feel, after hearing these pretty radical words, this collective ho-hum after reading and hearing this. Except as with most things that Jesus says and does, there is an awful lot more going on here that may meet the eye. For etiquette, or better said, the behavior that Jesus wants his disciples in living by, is not simply about manners in the ancient world, but in Jesus's time and place. Jesus's teaching and actions are about honor and shame. And these things matter much more than just about anything within Jesus's day. But Jesus today is not simply giving us good advice, but rather he's turning the way that one thinks about God and also about our neighbor on its head. He's challenging the status quo and he is stirring up things. And for all of these reasons, Jesus is inviting that death sentence that he will certainly receive. Jesus, if you haven't been able to tell thus far in your own faith lives, does much of his teaching and also when he is sharing a meal with his disciples, which means this Sunday morning that we spend with each other is our time to receive those good things, that good instruction for the week ahead from Jesus at our meal with him. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is at a banquet and he tells this parable about a meal setting, which is followed up by another story about another banquet. When we find Jesus at the meal, it's a meal that is much more about food, though, because the meals that Jesus is a part of is always about the makeup of those who are at the meal, or in other words, those who are there and what they are doing with one another when they are there. Jesus' story emphasizes two components of the banquet. First, the seats of honor, and second, those who have been invited. In an honor and shame culture, avoiding this shame is really of utmost importance. And so this is simply not about embarrassment, as we would think about it today. Because public honor, as determined by Jesus, comes to those who express that humility. Jesus calls into question what would normally be expected then of inviting those people into our lives, not only the ones that we know or those that we are comfortable with or those people that think just like us. But once again, Jesus sets this new vision of those who should be invited, those who are poor and crippled and lame and blind, and in so doing, turns over our own expectations and plans, those that sound so reasonable and right. I certainly know the way that Jesus suggests to us today and how to have a party is not just a little bit far-fetched, but it is really far-fetched. Because I suspect that we as people are just insecure enough and that life is just challenging enough that there are few things that we crave more in this topsy-turvy world than a little order. And doing what Jesus says today seems to be the opposite of order. And so to attain that order in our lives that all of us so much seek, we want to know where it is that we stand, how we're doing in life, how is it that we measure up. And given how small each one of us feels, we seek that sense of order by comparing ourselves always, certainly to others. This is why social pecking orders are so important to us, no matter how old we are. So I ask you this week to pay particular attention to all the ways that people place others into groups, because it makes the people placing others into groups feel better about their own selves, often by certainly belittling others. But here's the big teaching, I think, from Jesus today, if we may remember this. I believe that our world and our communities will be a much better place. And that is, our identity does not ever come from comparing ourselves, certainly to others, or knocking them down so that we can stand up straighter, or getting to the highest seat by being on the backs of others. But our identity, as you know, as good Lutheran Christians, comes from the status that Jesus gives us all as children of God. And with this type of gospel living and outlook, we can then humbly live and generously and lovingly and peacefully go about our day, because all people, whether we even like them or acknowledge them, are one. And those pecking orders that we create for ourselves are rubbish when it comes into living into the kingdom. Way back during Lent, I remember sharing with you that one of the main reasons that Jesus is crucified is because he forgives sins. And so by forgiving the sins of those people, he implies that they were in need of forgiveness. But I think in this week's gospel lesson, we stumble upon another reason that Jesus gets killed. And that is, he dares to say these things that we do to one another are not from God. Jesus proclaims here and throughout the gospel that in the kingdom of God, there are no pecking orders. None, zero, zilch, zip, zada. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. You may not think it's fair. It may even make you nervous. But it's the way that it is. And while Jesus' teachings today sound like it ought to be good news, it's not really, because it throws us into this dependence upon God's grace and God's grace alone. We can't stand, that is, upon our own accomplishments or our wealth or our positive attributes or our good looks, our strengths, IQ, or our movement up and down in the pecking orders of life. There is suddenly nothing that we can do to establish ourselves before God except to rely upon God's good desire to be in relationship with us and with all people. While writing the book called Making Sense of the Christian Faith, the author and seminary professor David Loos was surprised to find that what emerged as the unifying theme of all of Scripture comes down to two areas, two different kinds and related forms of relationship. One, the relationship that we have with God, and the relationship that we have with one another. You can't, he says, ever separate those two. That is, you can't claim a relationship with God if your relationship with the people around you stinks. And even though that we are a Lutheran church and a very modest and reserved folk, I think that statement alone today deserves an amen. Amen. Yeah, you did it. All right. Certainly because God has conferred upon us freely a dignity of worth, we could never be secure for ourselves. We are free then this week in doing the same for others. We are free always to put others before ourselves, in leading them to seats of honor and inviting them to be our dinner guests, not because of what they can do for us, but because of what God has already done for all of us. Amen, and come, Lord Jesus.